You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Yo, if we being real, right? If we being real.
Be real, baby.
I hate pregnancy.
When last you been pregnant?
Right now. We in this together.
If I'm going to be real, I really wonder if women knew as much as they know while they're pregnant, if they regret it. I think that's a fair question.
Deadass?
Deadass. I'm wondering. I want to know.
Dead ass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
This is going to be a candid story because, as a lot of people see on social media, I'm super excited about you being pregnant. I love my kids with all my heart. I have to say that. I love my kids with all my heart. But this story in particular happened last week. All right? Happened last week. Kadeen and I have been on a 2-week, like, love session. Like, we just been loving each other, been loving my wife, whispering sweet nothings, doing inversions, stretching her out, complimenting her every day, telling her how beautiful she is. And then I just felt a little bit that she had kind of neglected me a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, you know, it's 2 weeks. I've been, you know, complimenting her. Let me just let her know that, hey, just giving you a little heads up that you kind of sleeping a little bit. And when I sat down to talk to Kadeen, I was quiet for about smooth 3 minutes. It was about 3 minutes, right? And you was like, what's wrong? And I was just like, nothing. Because I was contemplating if I was going to say something or not say something.
I already knew there was something wrong.
So I decided, you know what? I'm going to say something. So I said, babe.
Because DeVal's not ever not going to say nothing.
Yeah, I'm never not going to say
nothing. It's
just
a matter of time.
Right. So I said, babe, I just want you to know that you're sleepwalking a little bit. I understand, you know, everything. But I just want to let you know your husband's still here. She didn't say nothing to me. She just looked at me. Then she got up. And I said, you all right? And she goes, Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just 7 months pregnant. And then stormed out the room.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, y'all, losing two loved ones in a matter of 6 months, it can be a lot. And a lot of times when you're dealing with grief, you have a lot to get off your chest with your family.
That's absolutely right. You know, people carry around all different types of stresses, big and small. When you keep them bottled up, it can start to affect you negatively.
And therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to kind of figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down.
If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first visit. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass. You may be aware that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact, and the next generation of influential black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be black today, told from a unique black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of black stories, black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
So, the topic of the show today is, I love my kids, but I hate pregnancy. And the reason why we wanted to talk about this is because a lot of people see us and we enjoy the moments that, you know, you guys see the moments, the 2 minute moments we put on social media, and we enjoy the moments.
And there's a lot more than those 2 minute moments with our children.
A whole lot more 2 minute moments.
Granted, really quick, babe, we would not have, I don't think, continue to have more children if our boys were not so bomb.
Absolutely. The kids like, are the only reason why we put up with pregnancy.
I was like, I love all three of them. They're all so different, and it's literally like a show up in here every day dealing with the different personalities. It's great because even when our team comes in to visit to do the podcast and stuff, they just laugh at like all the antics. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they see what we see, live like, every single day.
This is literally like, these are the personalities.
So with that being said, let me ask you this, right? Mm-hmm. When it came time to think about having another child, You, of course, was just like, I don't want to have to go through another pregnancy. I understood that. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as I was pushing and pushing on one other child, I understood that ultimately it was going to come down to you because you're the one right. that has to come through pregnancy. I want you to tell the audience some things that you can't say, you feel like you can't say, because if you said them, people would look at you like, oh, she's ungrateful, she has kids. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things women go through the pregnant process, or they feel like the emotions they feel that they feel like they can't say? Then now is your time to say it.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many different emotions and things. So we've already discussed all of the changes that happen, mm-hmm. you know, physical, emotional. However, you kind of have to tread lightly sometimes, because I feel like we're in such a hypersensitive mm-hmm. state right now with everything. People mm-hmm. are so easily offended. People are so ready to be upset about something. Mm-hmm. So I personally feel the need to have to tread lightly sometimes mm-hmm. when I speak to someone candidly about pregnancy. One thing, advice is not always welcome. And sometimes unsolicited advice uh-huh. is some of the worst advice, because Absolutely. It's like, who the hell asked you anyway? You know?
Yes.
So I'm very careful personally when I am giving advice or mm-hmm. speaking of my experiences, to be mindful that it may not be something a woman wants to hear in that moment, or speaking about my journey to even conceive or having a miscarriage. Things like that are very sensitive topics, because sometimes you just don't even know what women are dealing with. Some right, of it is very right. personal. Some of Absolutely. It is very private.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of like you want to make sure that you're saying the right thing. And sometimes even when you do take the care to say the right thing, it's still not the right
so
thing.
So pretty much it's unfair to paint a broad stroke over someone's experience.
Exactly.
Like, you can't say pregnancy is
no
to any woman no. because every individual pregnancy is
no, okay. Exactly. And I think the beauty in what we do is that we just give our experience, mm-hmm. you know, which people have known us to do for the past mm-hmm. six seasons. I hope in giving my experience that people will say, okay, this happened for them. Mm-hmm. My walk may not be the same. Mm-hmm. However, I know that I'm not alone if I'm experiencing something right. the same
right.
way.
Right.
So I feel like the candid experiences and telling those stories is necessary, and that's mm-hmm. why I continue to do so. But I can understand how for some women they're just like, I just don't want to hear it in that moment, or it may be a trigger, you mm-hmm. know, for some people. So now people are putting up trigger warnings in the beginning of
right.
a post.
But here's my question though. What were some of your thoughts, like some of your deepest thoughts when you thought about being pregnant again, that most women won't verbalize because mm-hmm. they're afraid of judgment? Like, what was one of the first things you felt like, okay, I'm gonna be pregnant again? Is it fear? Is it like, what was one of your thoughts that you feel like, damn, if I say this, women are going to kill me, but this is how I truly feel?
I don't think there was anything like that, only because this is something that I genuinely wanted. Mm-hmm. However, I did feel like people were going to be like, oh, well, damn, like, they're having another kid. Like, how many kids are too many kids? So when you say you're pregnant with your fourth, it's like, when are they going to stop? Like, mm-hmm. is there a cap for them? Right. Some people feel like they can put a cap on how many children somebody has, you know? So that was one thing that crossed my mind. Like, they're just like, oh, is she gonna do it again? Another thing I was kind of concerned about a little bit was, like, even just from some family thinking like, oh, well, I thought you were done because you wanted to do this, that, and the third with your career. Now you're going to have to put all that on hold again because you're having another baby.
So were you concerned
baby.
About putting it on hold?
No.
That's really what I want to know. Because
like, I really wasn't, but that's you asked like what I was thinking. Like, oh my God, people may think.
No. I think I'm framing it wrong. I'm talking about, for example, as a father, right? When people say, oh, your wife's having another baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your first thought process is, let me say the right thing mm-hmm. so that people feel like I'm a good dad. So you're like, yeah, I'm excited. I love pregnancy. When truthfully, a lot of dudes just be like, I hate pregnancy. I hate.
See, I didn't think it would be like that for guys, but I thought guys don't like pregnancy. So I feel
you
like
thought you, guys would be like what?
I figured guys don't like pregnancy. Well, but do you so think they would never be like excited?
That? No, do you think that we could obviously, like, if someone say, oh, your wife is pregnant, you could be like, yeah, I know. Shit, you can't say that. You know what you got to do? You got to be like, yeah, I know, man. I'm excited. But
I think amongst guys, the way y'all, I won't say y'all, but the way sometimes men even just have like a negative, like, oh, you're getting married? Damn. I feel like y'all can probably do the same thing with pregnancy if you feel like you're in a safe space with other men who understand what it is.
I am talking about our safe space, but I'm talking about when you're not in a safe space. For example, you and I are public figures now.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds crazy, but we can't just say how we feel.
Yeah.
Because every space isn't a safe space, but right. our podcast is a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, I would like to hear some of the thoughts or concerns you had. For example, one of my first concerns was, and this is what most men say, but this is, I said, I'm going to have to eat crow and deal with this attitude for 10 months mm-hmm. and I can't say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a man, you have to gear up for that.
Right.
Absolutely. Because you know why your wife is pregnant. You wanted her to be pregnant. You know what she goes through. So you understand all of that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you're getting snapped at constantly while trying to do the best, it can be like, yo, how many more of these am I going to take before I lose my mind? And knowing that I have to deal with that.
Well, something that, you know, that comes to mind now that you've expressed it that way, that didn't even have to deal with the general public, actually had to deal with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, now for the next 10 months, I'm going to have to hear this man or not hear him because he'll non-verbally bitch and moan about how much he's not going to get sex.
See, that's an honest thing. And yeah, that's an honest thing.
That's honest. I was just like,
you concerned about that?
And I was concerned about that. And I said to you prior to us even deciding if we were going to have another baby again, DeVal, do you understand what we're about to embark on? Do you understand what it looks like for me in the first, second, third, and fourth trimesters?
I get that.
Do you understand that I'm going to be pretty much out of commission for the next year? Are you able to handle that? Are you willing to deal with that without making me feel bad, without huffing and puffing around here, without having your meltdown every couple of weeks? Like, is that something that you're going to be able to deal with? Because if you don't feel like that's something you can deal with, we might as well scratch that, because I don't feel like investing a year of my life into that.
That's a fair feeling. And I think that a lot of people don't express that is a concern, but that is a concern. And as a woman, that was a concern for you.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've expressed that to me.
And that was an for you. Exactly.
You've expressed that to me, and I've tried my hardest to be cognizant of that.
And you have, but that's initially what we had to talk about.
But those are the feelings that I want to hear. Mm-hmm. I want to hear, I'm about to get pregnant. What is my concern?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, in the beginning, you'd ask too about what other people would have thought if I was to speak on these
what
things.
I said was, what are you afraid to say that you fear you're going to get judgment from other people?
From other people about.
So yeah. So what were you afraid?
Right. Well,
so
that was one of the things.
So you're afraid to say that publicly.
Mm-hmm.
Because most women don't want to get judgment or be judged by other people.
And if I do say that aloud, you know, and I say I was to create a post about it and say, hey, you know, my husband wants to get pregnant again, but that means I'm out of commission for a year, blah, 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 like I just expressed, then I know, of course, the backlash will be, well, that's what he wanted. He wants another child. Da, 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 da. Men are so immature, this, that, and the third. Mm-hmm. Or you get the adverse side of it where it's just like, well, sis, that comes with the territory. This is what you wanted. This is what you asked for. Mm-hmm. So all of that comes along with me expressing something like that. Mm-hmm. So yes, in a safe space like this, I would be like, yeah, that's something that was a genuine concern for me, because if I didn't care about you and how you might have felt or our sex life or anything like that, then I could have been like, all right, well, I'm going to just have this baby and DeVal's going to have to deal with it because he knows what it is. But I felt it was worth a discussion for us to have ahead of time so we can both be prepared for what was about to happen. So that's one thing that I think was definitely paramount and had to be had. Mm-hmm. I was actually speaking with a friend recently, and she was talking about, you know, she just had her second child recently, and she's just kind of like, I had no idea that this was going to be motherhood. And of course, sometimes you have to preface it with a, I love my children.
Of course, you
so
have to say that first.
Because we know.
If
yes,
you don't say that, then people will say.
And I think as a parent, it's
kids.
Understood, but we're talking about like general public people. I love my children. However, if I knew everything that went into motherhood, I really would have second guessed if I even wanted to be a mother to begin with. And I think that's a fair assessment. That's a fair feeling.
And she's early in it. She got two under two.
Two under two and early on.
So it's a lot of stress.
Yeah,
early.
A lot of stress, a lot of change, you know, for herself. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, I love me and I love who I was pre-children. And I just feel like there's no foreseeable me in sight. And that conversation then kind of spiraled into me telling her, like, sis, it's going to get better. It's going to get easier. Knowing now that she's done having children and her two can grow together and she's completely done. What is it that you need to keep yourself sane in this moment? So we talked about her having time with her husband. So if it meant that they had little weekend getaways or her doing the things that she used to do pre-babies. But I think it's one of those things that as a mom, you still feel that level of guilt because you feel like if you leave your children for an extended period of time that, you know, no one's going to take care of your child as well as you can, even if you have family members or if you have hired help. So I thought it was fair. And she said that that's something she feels that she can't say to just anyone. She can't say that publicly because she feels that people will judge her for that.
I know.
And she kind of confided in me in that moment. And she was just like, man, I can't understand, or like I couldn't fathom having four children,
right,
you know, much less the two that I have. And she's like, I do have moments where I'm just like, man, had I known that this is what motherhood was going to look like and I had to sacrifice so much of myself, I would have really like thought about when I was going to have children, if I was going to have children, mm-hmm. how many years in between these children, mm-hmm. would my one child, my oldest, be the only child? Mm-hmm. And I thought those were all fair questions. So I was happy that she was able to speak with me about it. But, you know, you can't necessarily just like have a whole discussion about that without people saying, well, this is what she wanted.
Right.
These are one of the things you can't prepare for. You literally right. cannot prepare for, no matter how much advice you get, mm-hmm. unsolicited or solicited, you're always going to have your own experience. And I think that's something that I think is fair for mothers and fathers to deal with, you know?
Yeah, I feel like from a father's side, our concern is being taken for granted, mm-hmm. and it being acceptable to be taken for granted for 10 months to a year because your wife is pregnant. Because now it's like a lot of men feel like, and I felt this at times too, that once a woman or once you get pregnant, now it's okay to say, well, I'm not doing that because I'm pregnant, knowing that I'm going to say okay, to the point where now it's just like, you know, I can just disregard DeVal's feelings, his emotions, his wants, his needs.
I don't know. Because for me, I'm thinking in the grand scheme of things, 10 months to a year, how long is that in a relationship or mm-hmm. in a, you know, the span of time? So how much of that, my question to you is it just kind of like, I don't want to say
like what?
Bitching and moaning, but is it just you guys like not being able to sacrifice a year of life and say, this is where I may have to bend?
No, or I think what it comes from is everything in marriage is predicated around a woman. We have to propose and get you the ring you want. We have to get married and do things the way you want. So everything is based around what a woman wants and a woman needs. Mm-hmm. And anytime a man says what he wants or needs, it's considered bitching and moaning. Mm-hmm. So women get to say what they want and need all the time, and we have to adhere to it as husbands. But if I say what I want and need, then I'm being sensitive, emotional, and like you just said, bitching and moaning. Mm-hmm. So now that you're pregnant, it's to another level because my wife is pregnant. So it's already in marriage that if I say what I want or need, it's bitching and moaning. But now if I say it while you're pregnant, mm-hmm. during that 10 months to a year, it's heightened. Mm-hmm. So for a month in a year, it's even worse than what it was when I was married. And that's the concern.
And is it a fear that it won't return to normal? Or is it that you just don't want to sacrifice that 10 months to a year of life?
No, it's a fear that part of it is a fear that it won't return to normal because nothing goes back to normal once you have a baby. So it's like, at first it's like, oh, I can't do that because I'm pregnant. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I can't do that because I just had a baby. Oh, I can't do that because I'm nursing. Oh, I can't do that because the baby's crying. So the fear is like, wherever I was on the totem pole of importance for you, mm-hmm. I don't exist there anymore. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And especially during pregnancy, it's your concern is you really don't want to upset your wife. So you get so accustomed to saying okay that she becomes accustomed to hearing okay. That the one time I don't say okay, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. And that's been the way it's been for us over the years. And I mean, it's still that way today. I mm-hmm. still chalk it up to, you know, emotions at times, but also us having different wants and different needs, and also us not being able to be who we want to be for each other in those moments, of course, because physiologically you can't. Mm-hmm. So maturity comes with understanding that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that it's not a fear. Mm-hmm. You understand it. And that's how people ask me all the time, how are you able to just still be so happy and excited and do this stuff for your wife? Because you understand it. Not that you don't, it doesn't happen, mm-hmm. or you don't have those feelings, but you understand where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. If you really understand what a woman goes through pregnancy, you do understand that those changes can create these, you know, these different gaps and fractures in the relationship during that time. Mm-hmm. But I know that if I put the work in, I can mend those. Mm-hmm. So what I stopped doing was I stopped just being upset and fearful and wishing that it got better and just tried to start putting the work in to make it better. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change the fact that as a man, you feel like that. And men don't say that to other men because they feel like bitching and moaning. Mm-hmm. Or they feel like if they say it, it makes them sound weak or sensitive. Mm-hmm. But a lot of men have expressed to me in silence, or my friends have said to me, and I know I felt that way, that you feel that way. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell them sometimes, like, it's okay to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Like, because a lot of times husbands do feel taken for granted. Like you guys don't realize it because you're the pregnant one. You're the one being catered to for a year. Mm-hmm. But could you imagine if for a whole year nobody was concerned about you at all, and everything you asked for or mentioned was considered bitching and moaning while you're catering to someone else for a whole year. Could you imagine doing that?
It
would feel lonely at times. You know what I'm saying?
In the other shoe, yeah, it could definitely feel lonely. But I feel like also having those spaces where you, for example, can speak to some of your guy friends who I know have confided in you recently.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's also a safe space within people who have experienced the same things.
Right.
You know, so right. When you're talking to your guy group of friends who are either becoming first-time fathers or who have had mm-hmm. multiple children, there's like a camaraderie there. The same way I feel more comfortable, if anything, speaking with another woman who is pregnant.
Absolutely.
You know, because at that point in time now, we have stories that we can compare. People's experiences are different. And I feel like when it comes to guys feeling like they have to always just kind of take the back seat, I think it's easier to say as a woman, like, it's just, you know, 10 months to a year,
mm-hmm.
but that nothing really does, you're right, go back to normal after that. So mm-hmm. It had me thinking about.
But also, hold on, could you imagine if I said that to you in response? If you said to me, stop bitching and moaning, it's only 10 months or a year. And I mm-hmm. said, well, stop bitching and moaning about pregnancy, it's only 10 months to a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't say that to someone.
Right.
No one wants to receive that. Mm-hmm. So saying that to someone, mm-hmm. if you think about it, it's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one wants to have to receive that.
Right.
But, and the term happy wife, happy life exists for a reason. Because it's been written, or it's an unwritten rule, that as men, you have to suffer in silence so that your wife can be, you know, in peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's daunting for a man. And how would those couples know if we don't express these things openly? How would they know that they're having similar
processes?
I'm surprised
that hasn't been canceled.
What?
The happy wife, happy life.
That's never going to be canceled.
I'm surprised that, because people be ready to cancel everything. So
they won't cancel that. I know that. You know why they won't cancel that? Because
well,
men don't be canceling stuff. That's why.
It depends on who's doing the canceling, for sure.
Men don't be canceling stuff. Men just be like, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
So with each pregnancy, do you think it's changed?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, I think things have gotten better, at least for us, when it comes to having to deal with pregnancy and then coexisting as parents, as spouses.
Well, I think it.
Or is it just maturity?
No, I think it's.
I know you're
25
for life, but
no, I am 25 for life. But it's what you said. You said when you get into a circle where people have similar experiences, you feel mm-hmm. comfortable expressing, to realize you're not alone, right?
Right.
So for me, saying these things on the podcast are important because people can then hear someone else say it and then realize that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
So you don't know that you're not alone until someone says it.
Mm-hmm.
Then someone says it and be like, oh, shit,
mm-hmm.
I feel that way too.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the large part of why I like having these testimonies, because when men express to me like, man, my wife ain't doing this, or my wife ain't doing that, or I feel like this, and I go, bro, I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go, what you mean? Y'all just look so happy all the time. I said, yeah, you see us in our happy moments, but that doesn't mean we don't go through things and feel things, which mm-hmm. means if you feel this way, that don't mean that you can't be happy in your marriage.
Right.
That just means you have to take these feelings and express it to your spouse so that she can learn how to process it and say. And I think the biggest change is that we've had these conversations before and this is important for people to know, before we had E4, Kadeena and I had a conversation. She said, well, DeVal, we actually just started getting our sex life back. You mm-hmm. do know that once I get pregnant, stuff is going to change,
yep.
at least for a year. And I said, yo, I got you. I get it. I understand. So once we had that conversation,
mm-hmm.
it was like, fine. Kadeena knew I understood. I understand that she understood. And that's why we told the story in episode one about us constantly trying to serve each other, because neither one of us want to exist in that stigma.
Right.
I'm not going to ever fall back and just be like, oh, my wife's being a bitch, I ain't doing nothing about it, I don't care. And mm-hmm. you never gonna feel back and be like, oh, my husband's bitching about something, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
We constantly work on it.
Right.
And I think people need to understand your frustrations you have with pregnancy are normal.
Yeah.
As much as we love our kids.
So honestly, I feel like even though we've had those discussions ahead of time where it's like, DeVal, mm-hmm. this is, you know, mm-hmm. what's gonna happen, it's easier to agree to that prior to than when you're actually in the moment.
Right.
Because you've had moments, even in my first trimester, where you were like, well, I just need this or I just need that.
Right.
And I'm just like, bro, you know what you signed up for. So why are we even having these discussions? And
see, but
there's just no way around it, I feel
But that's
like.
Why we have the discussions, because when I say, if we have a discussion that we say we understand,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't absolve you of all of your responsibilities the same way it never, like, I never get a chance to be absolved of all my responsibilities.
Well, I don't think it's looking for a way to be absolved of it, but it's like, we know it's not going to happen in the frequency that you want it, for example. So right. Why are we having this discussion?
Because I have to tell you when I feel like it's, I understand where you're coming from, but it's still been like really, really long. It's right. Like if we have this conversation and we say, let me know when it's gone too long or it's mm-hmm. been too far. You can't tell me to let you know because we're supposed to communicate. But then when I communicate, you get pissed. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that as a husband, I feel like gets lost in translation. Women say all the time, I just wish my husband would communicate. But then when I try to communicate to you the things I may want or need, you get pissed and say it's bitching and moaning. So then you don't want me to communicate. You don't want to hear what I need. Because mm-hmm. if I tell you what I need or I want, I'm bitching and moaning. Mm-hmm. So then if I cut back mm-hmm. and I stay quiet, then it's, oh, my husband doesn't communicate. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Right, yeah. And I'm not asking. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate. I'm not asking no, but I'm just, not I'm just to saying, communicate that. Right. But it's just sometimes that, something that crossed my mind sometimes. And I'm just like, but we had a discussion about what this was going to look like. And if I'm having Absolutely. A bad day or I'm having a bad week or whatever, I don't necessarily want to hear about it. But at the same breath, I do feel like you need a space to speak to me as your wife. Exactly. So I get it.
And I think that's what people don't understand. And sometimes I think that's what pregnant women don't understand. Mm-hmm. Right? You say you want communication. I hold off a lot of times when I want to communicate. I literally wait until I'm like, okay, it's going on long enough. For example, we're working out. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to walk 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I didn't say nothing the first 2 days you missed mm-hmm. or the third or the fourth, but now it's a week. Mm-hmm. And then finally I say something because it's been a whole week and now you got an attitude. And I'm saying, well, how long was I supposed to wait before you do something that you said you were going to do? Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So it's, rather than you being accountable to say, damn, I did say I was going to walk every day, but it's been a week. Your thing is, I don't want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And as a husband, it's like, I don't want to have to accept I don't want to hear it when right. we've agreed to communicate.
Right.
If we agreed to communicate, don't tell me you don't want to hear it.
And a lot of that too, you know what I'm saying? Just emotions too. Because I'm like, accountability, if accountability was a person, it'd be DeVal. Holding everybody accountable for everything they say they want.
That's the only way I right? know how to live. Which that's, is, to be honest, it's the only way I know how to live.
Which is great because that is a testimony to why you are as successful as you are. And we are as
successful as we are.
Right. So I completely get that. But DeVal, sometimes when you're pregnant, you just don't want to hear it.
And I think,
you know, and
I think that's important.
There's just no other way around it.
But I think that's important for both women and men to hear. Mm-hmm. As much as people communicate, when you're pregnant, sometimes you're just not going to want to hear it. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And as a man, because think about it, we've had discussions, right? But how many arguments or screaming matches have we had?
No, those have drastically decreased for us.
You want to know why?
Over the years, I will say.
You
want to
know why? Especially when you're pregnant, I'm not going to argue with you or scream and yell. I'm going to let you know how I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you receive and process it how you want. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to let it go from there. Right. And that's one thing. If I had to give a tool to young men or men who don't know what it's like to be married to a pregnant woman or mm-hmm. deal with pregnancy, you have every right to continue to communicate. Mm-hmm. But you have to let her process and receive it the way she wants. If she's going to scream and yell and storm off and get an attitude, in the past, I would have followed you, screamed and yelled. But now I'm like, she's pregnant. I'm not going to do that. I'm right. going to let her scream and yell and get it out mm-hmm. because most of that is emotional response because you haven't typically responded like that when you weren't pregnant. Mm-hmm. So I know what it is. Mm-hmm. But that also doesn't change the fact that as a man, sometimes you're just like, how many times am I going to let her scream and yell and walk off
right.
and I have to hold it in? You know
I
what I'm saying?
And, I'm, and, what I'm saying? Don't, and I don't by any means want to use pregnancy as a crutch either to then mm-hmm. just be a tyrant or to be, you know what I mean, disrespectful
either.
But
sometimes
either.
Though,
so,
but sometimes
it ain't
tyrant.
Me. It ain't you.
It ain't
me.
It ain't you with E4.
I'm not going to blame nobody, but it ain't me.
No, but I do think like having this conversation and hearing people hear us say how we feel about stuff, mm-hmm. because people will watch me on social media and be like, man, he just loves Kadeem when she's pregnant. And they're just always happy together. And some dudes may feel like, damn, I don't always feel that way about my pregnant wife. So right. it's something wrong with my wife or right. something wrong with me. Right. And I'm here to tell you no.
No,
it's not nothing wrong with you or nothing wrong with her. Mm-mm. Me and Kadeena, so many days in here, we look at each other and we be like,
yeah.
And we make choices, you know, not to be combative.
We
you know?
Do make those choices. And like I said, sometimes I just want to be alone in that moment because I feel like I can feel when my energy is off and mm-hmm. or I just want to be left alone. So I'll go and be by myself. And then DeVal, because he misses me, will come looking for me.
Yes.
And I'm like, DeVal, if you miss me, just say you miss me and then let it just be. Let's just have those. Just tell me you want me close.
I do.
And then we can alleviate some of the issues that way too.
I do. But
so
But also, I'm trying to allow you to have space. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of hoop jumping. We talked about this in an early episode. We as men have to do a lot of hoop jumping. And y'all always set these rules that just let me do this, just let me do that. And every time we try to do it, y'all move the goalposts. Mm-hmm. It is frustrating.
Yes.
It is frustrating. And I know it has to be frustrating for y'all because...
And it's frustrating on this side.
Right.
Because we have a whole other set of frustrations that we're dealing with. But that's what
I want to hear, some of those frustrations. Because I know you also had frustrations about, you said the sex thing. Mm-hmm. Frustrations about not feeling like you can mom the way you wanted to mom. Mm-hmm. You feel like you'd be so out of it that you feel like you're lacking as a mom. So far you said you feel like you lack as a wife mm-hmm. in the sex department. You lack as a mom. Mm-hmm. What other way? Do you feel like you have a lack in your career because you'd be too exhausted or quiet?
Well, yeah, like I said in the beginning, you know, people thinking like, okay, Kadeen is of a certain age now, so we figured she's done with the baby thing. Like, is she going to want to do this with her career? I think what the pandemic, for example, mm-hmm. has shown me is that a couple things. One being the value in mm-hmm. my family life mm-hmm. and loving the fact that I actually had my children home with me all the time. Mm-hmm. I was actually a fan of virtual learning because I'm like, I love to know that my children are in the house with me mm-hmm. and that we are spending time together. So I loved that portion of it. Also, too, it taught me that I can work from home and there are certain flexibilities that I didn't think I could have been afforded before that I have now mm-hmm. working from home. And I realized, too, that there's still a lot of life left to be lived when it comes to my career.
Yeah.
That there's not necessarily this timeline that I've had that we mm-hmm. all have subscribed to that we spoke about in the
right,
past.
Right, right, right. We talked about
the timeline of being married and having kids and what age we're doing what by. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's now further extended. So that being said, I felt that in the beginning mainly because of backlash I thought mm-hmm. I was probably going to get from like family thinking
so
to myself
to
like, oh, Kadeen, I thought you were going to like get yourself back in shape so you can be on camera again and you can host and you can this, right, that, right, and the right. third. And I'm just like, yeah, but I could host pregnant. I could host after I'm
right,
pregnant.
Right,
like,
right,
what's
right, right,
10 months
right.
to a year realistically in the span of life that we're thinking, you know, so I you can think still get back to
so,
it.
So you think that your perspective on that has changed. Whereas before you felt like, oh, 10 months to a year is an eternity. Now you
absolutely.
Feel like it's not really that a big deal.
Right, because you feel like you start to catch some traction with whatever, you know, career move that I'm making. And then it's like, oh, you got to stop and take 10 months off. It's, oh, you know, you may be forgotten in that 10 months because, mm-hmm. you know. But no, now doing the things that we do on social media, people can be along on this journey with me. So there's mm-hmm. not that fear of being forgotten or being out of the spotlight for whatever, mm-hmm. you know, job it may be. That mm-hmm. if anything, people following this journey with us brings a humanness to me.
Right, right, right.
And then
right,
they say,
right,
oh, shoot, now she's had the baby. I wonder if she's back to work again, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, I don't see it as necessarily a crutch. And it may not be that way for everyone's career, but for me and the things that I want to do, I think that what's of paramount importance to me, first off, is family. Mm-hmm. And I feel like work can find its way around it. So
okay.
that's how I was able to kind of
reconcile
with that. Yeah, for myself.
One thing the biggest thing I have to say that I hate about pregnancy is I miss our companionship.
Yes.
Like you become used to someone existing a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then once your wife becomes pregnant, they have to become a whole different person. Mm-hmm. You know, the things that we used to do together to have fun, we can't do,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as you change, I do miss that.
Yeah.
And what happens is, you don't feel comfortable saying that I miss the way you were
mm-hmm.
because you don't want your wife to feel like, oh man, I'm not who he was anymore. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be love loss, or mm-hmm. you don't want your wife to feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But as a husband, I do miss that. And mm-hmm. I'm okay now because I know we're so much stronger than we were when we were younger.
Yeah.
I do feel comfortable saying like Kadeen, when she's not pregnant, is a completely different person mm-hmm. than when she is pregnant. And I can appreciate pregnant Kadeen because, of course, she's the vessel of life for our kids. But I miss not pregnant Kadeen.
Mm-hmm.
The non-pregnant Kadeen is, no knock on pregnant Kadeen, is so much more fun
I'm turned
than
up,
the
y'all.
Pregnant Kadeen
I
because
am
we, you know, we,
you're not
we,
the only
you
one looking forward to me.
I know that.
Returning. My brother, my sister, they're like, do you know Kadeen post?
I know. That's the best part is like,
yeah.
we drink together, we smoke together, we watch movies together, we stay up late, we play cards, like all of those things that we can't do.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because you physically can't. Like
physically
it'll be 8 o'clock and I'll be like, yo, you ready to watch this thing?
And I'll then, be like, yeah. And then no. I'll
gone.
Be asleep. Or when you think about it, we just bought this home and we're here and I literally got pregnant within like a week or two of moving in. So we haven't had to get a chance to enjoy this house or you know, family vacation in Aruba with the kids, like that, you know, I couldn't jump off the boat like you and Jackson and do all the things that I wanted to do. So.
And the funny thing is, you want me to hold Josh? Oh, the funny thing is that I think women always think that the thing we'll miss the most is just, oh, I don't get sex when I want. Mm-hmm. But the truth of the matter is, when you marry, you don't get sex when you want anyway. The thing I really miss the most is like my friend.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
The home.
Like even simple things like jokes that we have. Mm-hmm. Now, because of the way you feel, if I say certain jokes, mm-hmm. they don't be funny to you.
Nah, they fall flat,
if,
bro.
Yeah, if I say they some fall things, flat. If I say some things, you'll be like hyper emotional, you'll cry. So I'm like, damn, I gotta walk on eggshells to make sure that you're good. And I miss being able to be loose DeVal that can just mm-hmm. be with my best friend. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And as a husband, you don't want to say that.
Right.
And you don't want to say that to other people right. because then you sound selfish.
Right.
But the truth is, if you still feel that way, you not saying it doesn't change the fact that you still feel that way. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right. I get it.
And
babe.
I want this to be a safe space for you mm-hmm. and for me to be able to express that. So people who may be feeling the same thing, mm-hmm. because one of our close friends, the first thing he said to me was, yo, bro, I ain't gonna lie to you. I miss my wife. Like, I can't wait till this pregnancy shit over so we can get back to being us. And I said, bro, you do realize she got to breastfeed. She gonna, you know, she have to nurse that baby for 6 months. And he was like, damn, I didn't even think about that. Good looking, yo. And I was like, yo, because if you don't hear it, you feel like you're not prepared for it. And then you feel like, oh, shit, when this happened, I'm caught off guard.
Right.
But I was like, bro, you missing your wife, that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It'd be a problem mm-hmm. if you didn't miss your wife.
That's a fact.
Because if your wife is pregnant.
That's always my consolation. I always say that. I was like, I know you miss me. I miss you, too.
And I do.
And we've said that, too, off podcast and off camera. Like, I know that you miss me and I miss you, too. And it's change going to come. Okay.
And I'm not concerned with that. Mm-hmm. Like, younger DeVal, who didn't know that it was going to get back, was concerned.
Yeah.
But DeVal now, that's why I'm able to smile and be in a good place. One, mm-hmm. because I choose to be in a good place. Plus, mm-hmm. I wanted to have another child.
Right.
So when you know that this is a decision you made, it's mm-hmm. difficult to want that and then put the load on your wife to mm-hmm. be like, I wanted this, make it work. Right. So a lot of it comes with being in a position to say, hey, this is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. let's do it. You know what I'm saying?
Let's do it. But this is the last time. We're not doing it again.
Just no so more.
Say nah.
No.
Nah. It's a roller coaster. I want to actually get on a roller coaster, like a physical, actual roller coaster. I don't want to be on a roller coaster of emotions.
It's been a year that we haven't, you know, since the miscarriage and mm-hmm. then us going to get pregnant again, and then making sure everything was good. It's been a year mm-hmm. since you've been normal, Kadeem.
Yes.
So
we
still got a little ways to go. Right. So
you thugging it out though.
He's thugging it out,
y'all.
You thugging it out too.
You be proud of your boy.
You thugging it out too, though. you thugging it out too.
All right, y'all. Let's go take a little break, and we will be back with my favorite listener letters.
You may be aware that most people who are Black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies and life-saving measures. But did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? You, along with the American Red Cross, regardless of your blood type, can help by donating blood. Every day, our blood saves lives and eases the pain for those living with sickle cell. When you donate blood, there is a direct, positive impact within our community. Right now, there is great need for blood donations in the African American community. Every donation counts and makes a difference in someone's life. Donate blood at Red Cross to help save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs classic clogs and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet Well, thank you.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Let's say I'm trying to lurk on you, you know, see what you're doing and who you're doing it with. I can stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. You do that?
Not anymore. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages, so no public feeds. And the money is immediately available to use with Apple Pay.
Babe, did you just send me a dollar on Apple Cash?
I just said our cash isn't content. Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
There's power in every purchase, because every time we buy a Black-led brand, we make room for another Black-led brand. And y'all know, I love my lip bar products. That's just one, to name a few.
There is a whole collection of Black-led products that fit into your daily routine. Show Black founders some love, not just during Black History Month, but all year long.
That's right, y'all. Black founders and the products they bring to the table are creating a whole new world of choices at Walmart.
That's right. Go to walmart.com/blackandunlimited to discover all the amazing Black-owned products you can add to your daily routine.
All right, we're back with listener letters. Before we start, I got to say, the episodes that we do about accountability, for ourselves and each other, seem to be the episodes that resonate the most with people. And a lot of times I hear people say that was hard for me to listen because I heard myself.
Yeah.
But then it makes you feel like, dang, that's, I guess that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like therapy. Like, we get to talk about it. Mm-hmm. We get to talk it out loud. Mm-hmm. So we get to hear each other first. So before we get into listener letters, I want to thank y'all for being a sounding board for us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because we get to talk. And y'all, you guys listen.
A sounding board, motivation.
Motivation, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes a lot of these topics too spiral out of things that we've heard from y'all as feedback.
Right, absolutely, just, absolutely.
You know, comments and conversations and stuff like that happen. So we love y'all. Like, for real, for real.
You wanna go first?
Yeah, this one all says, right. First of all, love y'all. See, oh, we were just having a whole love session. Love y'all back. Okay, let's get into it. My boyfriend and I have been together for almost 2 years. In October last year, we got pregnant. We already have a child. We weren't trying and only found out that I was pregnant because I had several health challenges, or severe health challenges actually, and had to be taken to the hospital. Immediately, I made the choice not to keep it. Number one, because I never wanted kids, but caved with my daughter. Mm. And two, because I was bedridden, severe nausea, temporary memory loss, and excruciating migraines. I didn't think I could make it to term with all the pain I was in. We've dealt with that, but I've expressed to him that I do not want anymore, and he said that he would be okay with that, but always makes jokes about twin boys that we're going to have, saying he's keeping hope alive, but there's no hope left.
Mm.
I don't want anymore because what pregnancy does to me, I was also super nauseous with my daughter. I'm convinced that my body will react the same way with another pregnancy and immediately gives me PTSD feelings just thinking about conceiving again. Also, I raised my daughter alone because her dad and I lived in different countries. So my frame for reference for raising a child is that of a single parent, even though I did have help from my family. I almost can't imagine having a partner, even though I'm confident that he will do everything he can to take care of us. It's hurting me because I want very much to
be able to have a child.
I just don't want to carry it. Do you think we'll make it? Any tips on how to keep the conversation going until I make a final decision? Or do we just leave it alone? And I just hope that he's really okay with having my daughter and treating her like his own.
Oh, so, First of all, I applaud her honesty about saying that the fear she has is of dealing with all the things from pregnancy, because a lot of women are afraid to speak on it because they, like we talked about, don't want to be judged by other women for what they fear or what they're going through. So the fact that she's expressed that to him, I applaud her honesty. Ultimately, after watching Kadeen go through pregnancy with Jackson and having to have emergency surgery right after, almost needing a blood transfusion, I honestly believe that it is a woman's choice to decide whether she wants to carry a baby or not. Mm-hmm. We don't go through any of the physical challenges. And you made a joke earlier. It was like, you know, every time we have pregnancy, it's like a near-death experience. And you were joking, but seriously, it's not.
You know
what I'm saying? Yeah. So if she's adamant about not having another child and he loves her, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he would be okay with it. But he has to decide, does he have a love, a greater love for her or a greater love for having children? And if he decides that he wants to have more children, he's well within his right to make a decision and move forward accordingly.
Right.
So that's my thoughts on it.
Right. And then too, I don't know if she specified in here, did she, that does he have any children already?
No, he doesn't have any children. See, they have one daughter. She has one daughter, and that's not his.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's a thing where I would not want to hold someone back if that's what they want. If they have the dreams of having the twin boys or just having children in general, I think that's one of the first conversations you should have with somebody.
Absolutely.
You know, even just dating or deciding to be in a long-term relationship, that, you know, what are the intentions when it comes to having children or not? Because you don't want to rob him of that, you know, and if this is something that you're adamant about and you just don't want to put yourself through that again, because it seems like she had a really rough pregnancy with her daughter. You may have to decide about, like, is this something you want to do or you want to go separate ways, so he can ultimately fulfill that dream for himself, because it's
right. But I think he, as the man in the relationship, has to do his due diligence and his research about what women go through in pregnancy to understand what asking a woman to go through a pregnancy means. You know what I'm saying? So because a lot of men say, I want kids. And then once pregnancy starts, you know, I can't deal with this shit, man. She acting crazy. It's like, bro, you ask for kids these 10 months to a year. This is what comes with that.
Right.
And the truth of the matter is that some people are ignorant. Some people are willfully ignorant. And they choose to ignore that so they can get what they want.
Right.
But if you love this person, you have a responsibility to do due diligence, to understand what women go through during pregnancy, what can happen with labor, what can happen after labor, and then make a decision. Well, you know what? What's more important to me, having the children that I want or being with the woman that I want if she doesn't want to have children? Once he does the due diligence, he can make a better educated decision.
Yeah. And I mean, the experience she had raising her child in her own different countries, and all, like all of that too, I think is compounded.
Giving her PTSD.
Yeah, for sure. So I think if, like, one thing that's easy for me in our circumstance, for example, is like, loving you to death, knowing that you are a provider, you take care of home. Those are all of the reasons that make it easy for me to subscribe to another child or another pregnancy, because it's like, I know I'm not doing this alone. So I can imagine how that fear of feeling like you're by yourself can make you a little bit apprehensive.
Absolutely.
I think more conversations need to be had here for sure. And really seeing where his heart lies when it comes to having children. And then with her, maybe seeing if there's ways that she can get things to help treat things like severe nausea. I know there's like certain medications that are approved for pregnant women to take. So almost kind of being proactive, knowing like, okay, these are the things that may come with the territory. So let me discuss it with my doctor ahead of time to see if we can get
being proactive as opposed to reactive. That's true.
So good luck to you, sis. I hope y'all figure that out.
All right, number two. First off, congrats on everything. I'm writing this email on the day you all announced that you are pregnant with baby number four. So excited for you too. I've been a fan of yours all for years, to the point that I feel like you guys are the big brother and sister I never had and that I've always wanted. So bro and sis, I need your advice. I've been with my husband for 8 years, married for 6 years. He is 28 and I'm 27. We both have good jobs. We have a nice living for ourselves. Our friends often come to us for advice as if we have it all together. We don't. Neither do we, sis. We have a solid relationship, but the one thing we constantly go back and forth about is when is the right time to have a baby. At one point early in our relationship, my husband told me he wanted a toddler, to which I responded, you know that don't come out as toddlers, right, bro? The fact that she said, you know they don't come out as toddlers, right, bro, is hilarious, but also shows me how close they are. Whenever you can call your girlfriend or boyfriend, bro, that means y'all friends.
All the time.
So what am I supposed to do with the baby until they are a toddler? LOL. We kind of laughed off that convo and never really talked about it again. Now I feel like I may be getting baby fever, as much as I'm nervous to admit that, but so many things hold me back from fully feeling ready. We live pretty close to my in-laws and we haven't always had the best relationship. That's not good. My mother-in-law made it very clear that I wasn't her pick for her son. I've come to grips with the fact that I could have been Beyonce and she would have found something wrong with me. Just sis, I want to say this. It is not your mother's responsibility to pick her son's soulmate, so she can kick rocks. Mother-in-laws don't mean anything, right? I'm just being honest, but Because I wasn't the pick for Kadeem either. Jesus wasn't even the pick for Kadeem.
That's a fact.
So I pretty much had to show her like what it is.
Yeah, Mimi pretty much said I could have walked through the door with Jesus Christ himself. And
she'd have been like,
She'd have been like, no. So. And look how well that turned out.
Exactly. So don't even trip on the mother-in-law. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She has a tendency to just pop up at our house. And I know that if when we have a baby, there will be times that I may not feel up to company. So she's also very opinionated. My husband is a gentle giant and has a hard time setting boundaries for a side of the family, and I'm willing to be flexible with that when she visits, but I would really appreciate if she could first, out of respect for me, if she could just chill first out of respect. If she could call first out of respect for me. All this baby talks make me nervous. My husband and I are really in a great space in our marriage, and who knows how a baby will shake things up. See, these are all the things that people be concerned about that we just talked about that mm-hmm. they won't say mm-hmm. because people are asking them for advice, and she doesn't want to say this out mm-hmm. loud because she fears judgment, which right. is exactly what we talked about. But I love my husband, and I know he always wanted kids. He is such an amazing husband. I want to give him anything he wants and needs from me, but I'm just afraid of change in my physical body, change in my marriage, change in my relationship, change in my family. All of the things. Will I ever be 100% sure about this? I'm so glad we talked about this, because she literally just said all the things that you mm-hmm. felt. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, am I overthinking? Any advice you guys can, you know, you have to help me? Thanks, love you guys.
Yep, all the things, sis.
Just listen to this podcast. Right. Everything she says she feel, all of the changes, physical body,
yes.
her relationship yes. with her husband, intimacy, her relationship with her in-laws, mm-hmm. all of those fears Kadeem has said she had.
At every stage of life and pregnancy and yes. parenthood. And it sounds cliche, but there's never really a right time. It's almost like no. it just happens and you adjust. You pivot. That was the word of
You remember what we said in the apartment?
What's that?
Both of us. We ain't having more than one kid in this apartment. We had three. Three.
Before we ended up moving out of that apartment.
And the reason why there was a gap between Jackson and Cairo, two yeah. reasons. One, Kadeem had, you know, a little bit of nervousness after having another child, after everything we dealt with the birth from Jackson. But yes. number two, we were trying to wait for the perfect financial and career time to have a second child.
Right.
And it just seemed like after 5 years, it was like, bro.
Right. Like in 5 years flew by and we were like, oh, shoot. Like right. we got to have another
yeah,
kid.
Yeah, we got another kid. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
And then it just ended up happening. I say that boundaries are very important.
Yes.
Like that's a whole nother
on your in-laws
topic. Boundaries are very important, and those conversations yes. have to be had. And it's like, sis, are we still going to harp on the fact that I wasn't the pick for your son? At this point, it's null and void. It never really mattered to begin with. But your husband's going to definitely have to have those conversations with his family as well.
Yes.
Knowing that, yes, after you have a child, sometimes you're not up for company. Me being pregnant now, sometimes I'm not up for company. Devon's yes. like, I want people to come by. I want friends to come by. And I'm
that's
like,
another.
I don't feel like entertaining. Entertaining people, because what happens when people come to your house, they always look at the female of the house, the woman of the house, to say, you know, how is she going to treat me on my stay? They don't look at the guys necessarily for that. So yeah, I understand how it is when you want boundaries within your own house and all of the changes. These are all warranted for someone who I think is looking mm-hmm. to become a first-time parent. And it honestly, the conversation needs to begin and end between your husband
yes,
and you.
And you, yes.
And then know about subsequent conversations that need to be had with his family, for example, and vice versa.
But I will say this. This is very important. What he said is what a lot of men think, because I did think the same way. He said he wanted a toddler. Remember when we were first having kids and I was just like, man, when this baby two
right.
and can walk,
said, or when this baby potty two
and potty trained, that's when I'm going to step in. up until then, there's nothing I can do for
let
the child.
Let me get a five-year-old. That doesn't work.
Right. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of dudes need to realize that you want a toddler, there's going to be conception, pregnancy, postpartum, nursing. You have to take part in all of that if you want your marriage to be the same it was before the baby come. Mm-hmm. If you remove yourself from all of that, even as much as you are a provider, because I think with Jackson, and I expressed this on social media at one point, mm-hmm. with Jackson, I was big on just providing because I didn't understand the spiritual and sensitive nature of being around your spouse or your wife when she's pregnant and the baby's in the stomach. Mm-hmm. My thing was, I got to get to the bag. I got to make as much money as possible. So I was working so many hours at the gym. I had multiple jobs trying to focus on making as much money. And I feel like part of the reason why we had issues the first part of our marriage and also after your first pregnancy is because I wasn't aware of how important I am to the process from the beginning. Mm-hmm. I thought that if I just gave her space and then once the baby was old enough for me to help that I could help, I thought that that's what worked.
Right.
But it doesn't. I'm just being honest. It nope. does not help. The more you can be involved, so when you have this conversation with him, the more he can be involved in the process, the easier it will be for you to make that decision.
Absolutely. So. That's some good advice. Good job, babe. All right, now. Those are some good... Y'all write about pregnancy a lot.
I thought yes.
it would be a lot to talk about pregnancy this season, but people really do have a lot of...
Niggas have babies every day, concern.
B. That's a fact. That's not going to go out of style. And if you want to be featured as one of our listener letters, be sure to email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
Moment of truth time. So for me, yes. my biggest thing with this whole thing is, of course, loving children, hating pregnancy. Find your group of people. Find mm-hmm. your safe space that you can speak to candidly without filter mm-hmm. about your genuine concerns. Because yes. chances are they're going to feel the same way.
Absolutely.
They're going to feel the same way. And if they don't, at least you have a trusted person, a trusted friend that you can just speak to mm-hmm. and just really kind of get those feelings out there. Because sometimes when you harbor that, especially when you're pregnant,
yes.
you don't ever want to harbor those feelings yes. of guilt or those feelings of,
yes.
you know, being upset or restless while you're pregnant, you know, growing a child. And it sometimes just helps to get it out there because
yes.
we all have those moments where, of course, like I said, the joy and the excitement can coexist with mm-hmm. fear. It can
Absolutely.
Coexist with
Absolutely.
Uncertainty, especially if it's uncharted territory for you. So, you know, find your tribe, find your village, and likely those people will also spill over into being those people who, after the baby's here, you'll feel comfortable being around and also calling on for advice too. So,
no, I agree 1,000%. Gentlemen, I'll say this. Make sure you vocalize. Let's normalize you being able to vocalize your feelings, your wants, and your needs, not only to your partner, but to other people around you so that you know you're not alone. Period.
Love that.
You'll learn how to deal with these situations if you speak to other people mm-hmm. of like mind mm-hmm. to learn how to build a positive, mature, strong foundation in your marriage with the mother of your child. Because if you don't vocalize it, if you don't say it, mm-hmm. right, and you just try to internalize it, mm-hmm. you're going to end up finding a vice somewhere else, and Lord knows what that vice can be or who that vice can be. Mm-hmm. Or you end up feeling guilty like a bad father because you feel like you don't have the same type of excitement and warmth that you see of other dads. So voice those feelings, those fears, those opinions. Know that mm-hmm. you're not alone, but most importantly, voice them to the mother so that y'all can work on them together.
Nice. All right, y'all. Be sure to find us on social media if you have not already. So on Instagram, we're Deadass the Podcast. And you know, you can find me, Kadeen I Am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Yeah, and share these episodes with somebody who you feel like might need a little help, you know? Because I'm not giving you my phone number to call me. Deval, you giving out your phone number?
Yeah, I got my number. Yeah. I ain't going to answer, though. Deadass. Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you. And how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
You may have heard that most people who are black have O blood type. O is commonly needed for emergencies, but did you know 1 in 3 of us is a match for patients with sickle cell disease? Regardless of blood type, every day our blood saves lives and eases the pain of those living with sickle cell. Donate blood at Red Cross to help us save a life. Black excellence is in our blood. Visit redcrossblood.org/ourblood to make an appointment now. It's time to celebrate Black History Month at the Walmart Black and Unlimited Clock. One at Flatiron Plaza in New York City and one at Ovation Hollywood in Los Angeles from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. With giveaways dropping every hour on the hour, it's a perfect time to try, like, and share Black-led products. It's free for everyone, and it's your chance to see how you can level up your daily routine with Black-led products that are creating a new world of choices at Walmart. Trust, you don't want to miss it.